This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum Series on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's program will discuss progress and best practices with virtualization and data center consolidation in the federal government. Here's your host, Jim Fleisig.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Jim Fleisig. During today's show, we will discuss best practices with virtualization and data center consolidation strategies in the federal government. With me today on the show are Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Gribshaw, CIO G6 ADCCP Team, U.S. Army, Margie Graves, the Deputy CIO at DHS, Dr. Robert Norris, the Chief Architect at NGA, Bill Sullivan, the VP of Public Sector at Informatica, Dmitry Kagansky, the Federal CTO at Quest Software Public Sector, and Kevin Chin, the Senior Solutions Architect, Red Hat Public Sector. Let's get right into the issues. Let's start with Margie Graves there at DHS. Margie, tell us your role with data center consolidation and some of the key benefits you see coming out of the efforts that are being made over at DHS.
Well, Jim, as Deputy CIO at DHS, I have the responsibility for pulling together the various functions within the Office of the CIO and coordinating with our component CIOs at DHS to execute data center consolidation. And those functions would include the enterprise architecture and the data management that's associated with moving our systems, our portfolio governance to decide how we architect those solutions and how we fund them accordingly, and also our SLAs and our infrastructure and application delivery CONOPS. And to that end, I would say that the benefits to DHS are enormous from the following standpoint. We know that DHS is still going through what I would consider to be a post-merger integration.
Sure.
And the Secretary has set a goal for one DHS. Data center consolidation is a huge part of that. The benefits would include our taking advantage of new technologies, making sure that those technologies are utilized to increase and improve our performance, improving our security posture, our cybersecurity posture, improving our information sharing, allowing our components to more effectively share information with each other, with appropriate protections, and also with our partners in law enforcement and the disaster recovery business. And also, I believe, finally, this is the one people talk about first,
right?
Usually, the consolidation results in a reduced carbon footprint and, of course, cost efficiencies.
Right.
I like to start with the other items because
the
they sort of get
so
lost
obvious.
In the shuffle
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah, not just the intuitively obvious result.
Right.
I think everybody knows, you know, that end result is going to reap the benefits, I guess. Yeah, we'll talk through the show getting from where we are to there. There's some issues along the way, I'm sure. But anyway, everyone agrees the end result certainly has promise. Jeff Gribshaw, how about over U.S. Army? Jeff, what's your role with data center consolidation, and what do you see as the big benefits you expect to come out of this?
Thank you. I'm the military deputy for Army Data Center Consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
I serve on the Army staff and the Chief Information Officer, G6, specifically in the Architecture, Operations, Networks, and Space Directorate, or the AONS Directorate. And I've been involved in data center consolidation now for about 2 years,
okay.
shortly after the
okay.
directive came out for the federal
right.
Data Center Consolidation Initiative. We see a lot of benefits associated with data center consolidation. One of the important ones is the opportunity to improve our security posture, really through developing and implementing standard software stacks that really let us focus on securing those limited environments,
right.
As opposed to focusing on not being able to focus and having
right.
trying to secure everything.
Sure.
We clearly see the opportunity for the efficiencies associated with data center consolidation, but the real driver to get us to there is that application management, that it's really an opportunity to take a fresh look at our application portfolio and make sure that we're doing the right things from that perspective.
Right, that's good. And, you know, it's interesting because it's come up a number of times on cloud shows and cybersecurity. shows and so forth, that security question that, you know, over the years we've been band-aiding approaches to security and fixing things as they break and just, you know, putting patches here, patches there. And with data center consolidation, you do have the opportunity to step back and say, hey, let's look at this thing holistically now, and let's look at a solution, you know, as opposed to all these piecemeal things we've been doing for the last 15, 20 years. So that's a great point, Jeff. Thanks. Dimitri, over at Quest Software, what's Quest's role in the data center consolidation and virtualization and helping government agencies move forward with this program?
So Quest Software is a commercial software company focusing on the systems management space. And we have a big, big emphasis on consolidations, migrations, virtualization, all the topics that we're talking about today. And my role specifically as the federal CTO is making sure that the software that my company puts out meets the needs of the federal government. Obviously, our customers are first to us and want to make sure that they align with the initiatives that are going on out there. And one of the huge benefits I've seen, and this is great for us as a software vendor and also great for the agencies that are involved, is that we're seeing, as Margie touched on, a lot of collaboration. It's both inside of the agencies as well as inter and intra-agency on both levels, where we see different agencies coming together and trying to figure out how do we solve this problem. Obviously, this is a different world we're living in than we were 5, 10, 15 years ago. And now everyone is starting to work together a lot more and makes things a lot easier to kind of facilitate some of those discussions.
Yeah, good point. You know, it really is changing. I mean, it's things, and I guess a lot of it has to do, which we'll get into the budget climate, but, you know, everything is a service and cloud and shared services first and think services, shared services first. It's going to create some very interesting culture dynamics over the next several years, I think. Dr. Robert Norris, Bob, Chief Architect over NGA, what's your role with data center consolidation there, and what are some of the big benefits you see of consolidating data centers?
Well, I think you know that our agency recently moved into a new campus down in Springfield. And one of the things that we had to do was rewicker our applications because they were originally designed to work in five different locations around the Washington area. And then when we brought them together to work at one site like we have now, we virtualized a number of them. So that helped us reduce our costs there. Additionally, we virtualized our desktops at our new campus, and these two things have provided us with very good savings. On top of that, now that the intelligence community is on the moving forward with virtualizing and consolidating data centers and coming up with two unified clouds, NGA and the Defense Intelligence Agency are in the lead to provide a common desktop for the intelligence community based on our virtualization work.
Oh, wow. That should be a major step forward in terms of standardization and being able to do a lot of information sharing in their operability and so forth. Fantastic.
That's great.
Bill Sullivan over at Informatica is the VP over there. What are some of the roles of Informatica is playing with data center consolidation, virtualization, and helping government agencies move forward?
Well, listening to some of my esteemed colleagues this morning, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. It'd be useful to define data center consolidation. That can mean anything from going from five data centers to two, which helps with the green footprint.
Right.
Doesn't save as much money. It could be consolidating applications. It could be archiving old data. It could be combining programs, integrating things. It could be pulling data forward through an MDM strategy. It could be going to the cloud, et cetera. What Informatica does as one of the leaders of the data integration software industry is afford customers the implementation of an integration layer. So whichever strategy you're seeking to pursue under the general penumbra of data center consolidation, we enable it. And we work with all of the leading hardware and software providers to ensure that that strategy is successful on behalf of our customers. I personally have responsibility for the company's business across the North American public sector, both federal, state, and local.
Good. So you're in an enabling role. Whatever direction the customer plans to go, you can help them get there.
That's correct. We just assisted the IRS to take 40 years of taxpayer data from mainframes up to the cloud, which may not be a particularly popular reference this morning, but we're very proud of our work.
Hey, remember, I was CIO at Treasury for 7 years, so I know a little bit about the IRS and some of their programs over there. Kevin Chin over at Red Hat. I think open source and things like that. Tell us what you're doing with data center consolidation and virtualization.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you well know, we're an open source software company. And we're driving a lot of innovation into customers and the IT industry in general. We feel through our community-based development approach. But we also feel like we provide technologies that kind of enable our customer base to accelerate the projects that they're working on through a unique economic model, I guess you could say, but also through providing standards-driven technology. So we feel like the innovation that can happen in an the focus that we can provide an organization through our technology is by letting them not worry about the infrastructure pieces, but being able to consume that infrastructure easily and then therefore focus on their mission more effectively.
Yeah, I think we've all had that thought, you know, that we ought to focus on the mission and the infrastructure will be there, you know, as opposed to having to worry about the infrastructure as the top priority in order to be able to figure out how to make the business work. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, as I bounce around town, I hear a lot about the budget and tight budgets and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, in order to do data consolidation is going to take some money up front. I mean, the last thing we want to do is move old stuff into a new data center, right? You want to modernize and as you move along. Do we think there's going to be any issues? Or are we going to be able to sustain this and meet these goals, that these lofty goals on how fast? Let's start with Dr. with Bob Norris over at NGA. Is the budget of a big concern, or are we okay there? Do you anticipate, you know, the savings accruing fast enough in order to justify the investments to get there?
Well, the budget is a real concern, and one of the things that we have to do, and I think almost any agency has to do this, is start to look at what are the legacy systems that they have now, and then what would be done about them as far as whether they would go into a new data center or not. One of the things we have going on at NGA now is we've developed integrated work groups to actually focus on some of the major missions that we have to see if we can develop widgets and other applications using integrated teams to actually develop some of these new applications that will need to go into the data center. And I think that's one way that we're trying to cope with this budget issue.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the good thing about a tight budget time, it forces more creativity and innovation, because you really got to think. I was talking to a CIO yesterday who's going through a zero-based review of everything they have to try to figure out where can we reduce or maybe do away with some things in order to go to a more modern environment, and coming up with quite a few ideas. Jeff, what do you think, Jeff Gripshaw of U.S. Army? Is the budget environment creating issues with your progress?
It's making it challenging, but it's something that we have to work through. It's the right thing to do. We really can't afford to not consolidate.
Right.
It is, I mean, we've grown capability over time for good reasons. Got good people out there and lots of Army organizations who saw a need. They identified that need. They identified IT that would help them support their organization's mission, and they went out and they acquired it.
Right.
And they're doing the right things at the right time, but it wasn't an Army perspective. There's a lot of you think of the Army as an enterprise of enterprises,
okay. And
we're now trying to bring some of that good progress done at lots of different places in the Army, and those things that are appropriate, bring it up to the enterprise level.
Right.
We can't afford in these tough budget times to keep operating the way we have. So we don't have a choice but to do some of this consolidation. We're going to have to work very hard as we go through here to make sure we're justifying the investment that we
right.
do need
right.
and that it is producing the efficiencies.
Yeah.
But we can't afford not to.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's the challenges there. You know, I mean, you know, component organizations like to do their own thing, but when you look at the big picture down the road, you really got to think about what could be done at the enterprise level and work your way through the culture issues to get there. Margie, I'm sure DHS doesn't have any of those culture issues. I'm sure those components just immediately sign right on and everyone says, sure, we're ready to roll. But does the budget slowing you down, or do you think that you're going to get where you want to get? Plug away, just stay at it?
It has presented some challenges, but I don't think it's anything that we can't work through. We have a solid program in place, and we started down that pathway of looking at what enterprise applications should be delivered. So right now we've got email as a service, mm-hmm. SharePoint as a service. We started with back office, and we're working our way down the scale and drawing that cut line
right.
a little lower and lower each time so that we move into those consolidated enterprise applications. We also looked at replatforming some of our major applications. Unfortunately, our large volume transaction based and are platformed on old mainframes.
Right.
Looking at that aspect, as Bob had said, about re-architecting, re-engineering, determining what we can do to get those applications to a better place, and at the same time, we can improve the performance. I mean, we just replatformed some things for one of our agencies, CBP, where we can get 10 times the transaction output
right.
out of the new technologies than we could before
yeah.
and what we were doing in the legacy environment. The business case itself is sound.
Right.
You have to take a little bit of a longer-term view. There is some investment that's required to get to the goodness on the other side, and I'm hoping that we as agencies can all hold the line on making sure that our stakeholders in Congress and OMB and the public in general understands that there is some investment required. Beyond that, I think it's incumbent upon us to make use of these new business models
mm-hmm.
As a service offerings and moving from CapEx to OpEx,
right.
not investing as much capital, not having those capital
right.
spikes, not owning and operating,
right.
and moving into service environments. And that's where industry is coming forward and providing those more innovative solutions to help us get there.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are sort of exciting about the fact that we are being moved forward in a number of these areas and being forced to think differently. You know, think about ways to how can we modernize and how can we get rid of some of the old stuff that's just costing us tremendously with O&M cost and licensing cost and so forth. Kevin, how about over at Red Hat? How do you do you guys look at the budget climate and view it as something that you see as a major hindrance, or you plugging away, or is the focus now on how can we help agencies reduce their costs by implementing things?
Yeah, so basically at Red Hat, one of the values, I guess, that we bring to the table is we help customers lower their TCO. So we feel like we really enable them to do more with their money, I guess, if you want to think of
so
it that
way. So
you're
all about saving money to begin with.
Well, that's definitely one of the pillars of the value that we bring to the table, mm-hmm. but it's not the only one. Certainly our technologies in and of themselves are pretty good. And so we can meet all the business requirements, I guess you could say, of things like virtualization and data center consolidation like we're talking about today. Using these same technologies, I don't know that I would say we see budget as the tough budget climate, as it were, as a hindrance. It's really more of an opportunity for us in particular. But I do think that what it's done is let our customer base stop and think about the decisions that they've made in IT,
mm-hmm.
and really start to explore. You know, okay, is this the right choice for me? What were the reasons that I made this decision, and what are the alternatives that I should really look at out there?
Okay, cool. Yeah, same thing too. You know, this idea of pushing for new models, new ways of thinking about things. I want to hear from Dimitri and Bill also, but first we need to take a short break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Quest Software IT Management Solutions help you lower costs, manage risk, extend platform capability and lifecycle, and reduce the complexity of IT management. They make your mission possible, physical, virtual, and in the cloud. Quest Software is simplicity at work, and it's available through DLT Solutions. Simplify. Thrive. Quest Software. Learn more at dlt.com/mission possible. That's dlt.com/mission possible.
Government IT leaders have one thing in common. All are challenged to do more with less while meeting the aggressive federal data center consolidation initiative mandates. Agencies can realize their data center consolidation goals by looking beyond the traditional bricks and mortar of consolidation to reduce infrastructure and utility costs. Informatica customers know that the true long-term savings come through a comprehensive application retirement, data archiving, and virtualization strategy. Visit Informatica.com today to see how they can help your organization.
There are a lot of virtualization solutions out there from proprietary companies, but they are expensive and lock you into long-term relationships with vendors that you might not want. But Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization is a highly secure open-source platform for mission-critical workloads. Red Hat technology is based on open standards, so your IT future still belongs to you. And if you're ready to start cloud computing, this is the way to do it. 90% of public clouds already run on open source. This is Paul Smith from Red Hat, and if you want to learn more from the open source leader, check us out at redhat.com/virtualize.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig here with Jeff Gribshaw from the Army, Margie Graves from DHS, Bob Norris from NGA, Bill Sullivan from Informatica, Dmitry Kagansky from Quest Software, and Kevin Chin from Red Hat. We're talking data center consolidation and virtualization. When we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the budget, and we haven't heard from some of our industry guests here. Bill Sullivan, does the budget climate impact your strategies and how you're viewing this market and help the government agencies move forward?
Absolutely. I think we look at it and see the DOD took a $400 billion cut.
Yeah.
We see there are relatively few people arguing for greater government spending. But really, responsible spending is always a bipartisan issue. And as we've heard some of the panelists today discuss, the real issue is how do we structure the organizations to best serve the needs of the citizen? And so I think that this will be an ongoing challenge. The budget will always be an ongoing challenge. Some of the things that we have seen our customers doing that have an immediate ROI for their businesses, that whole area of application optimization, replatforming. It's rare that you see quite such a dramatic change in the infrastructure that allows for that return. And our experience has been very similar to those as shared by some of the others. The whole issue of green computing, though important, you know, going from 5 to 2 data centers, it's good to reduce the footprint. But again, ironically, we see the greatest return to government from that optimization of existing assets,
right?
Masking, archiving, and optimizing data.
Right. I know when I talk to companies, I say, you know, it's sort of like a non-starter to go in and talk to an agency about a new investment. What you really need to think about is coming up with a solution that helps them reduce their current costs somewhere in order to implement or modernize some activity in terms of moving forward. Dmitry Kagansky, I have a request. How do you view the budget climate? Does that change the way you think about helping government agencies move forward?
It does. What we've seen, I'd say, over the last 2 years, and even more so recently with the budget climate, is the fact that we've got a lot of agencies coming to us saying, we already own Quest software, we're already doing certain things with it, how can we get more out of it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get more efficiencies? How do we make do with what we have already? So not necessarily heightened spending, but how do we make better use of it? And this is where we actually see the government taking some pretty huge strides forward, getting on par, in some cases even ahead of the commercial sector with some of the things that they're doing, especially around things like security, collaboration. There's a lot of initiatives that are going on now that, you know, if you told me 5 years ago that the government was going to be leading the way in some of these things, I probably would have scoffed at you and said, oh, no, you know, they're slow and they're lumbering. But I think it's made everyone a lot more nimble, a lot more reactive, and a lot more thoughtful about what they're doing with what they already have.
Yeah, I think there are places where there are pockets of places where the government has specialized niche needs that are out front, well out in front of the private sector. There are other areas where, for a variety of reasons, where the government lags, but that's just the way it is, you know, mm-hmm. the way things have been working. We're talking data center consolidation, but, you know, we also have got cloud computing and managed services and all. And sometimes in my mind, they all sort of like bleed together, you know what I mean? Data center consolidation, cloud, managed services, and where's the demarcation and how they work. How does cloud computing and managed services get factored into the data center strategy as you're moving forward? Let's start, Jeff Gribshaw of the Army. How do you think about, when you're thinking data center consolidation, what about cloud? What about managed services? You know, are you going to own it? Someone else going to own it? How's all that work?
I'll start with cloud.
Okay.
I think all of it, it's got to be a hybrid solution. You need some of all of that when it comes to data center consolidation and virtualization and where we're moving. I try to be real careful when I start talking cloud, because in so many cases, you think of cloud as the solution to everything.
Right.
It's almost that bright, shiny object syndrome. Oh,
there
it is. Go to the cloud. That piece of technology
is going
to
sing out there.
Absolutely. And so when you think cloud, you really have to have three components. That technical piece, which is what everybody thinks of, but there's an operations piece and a business piece of it that are also really important. And it's about getting things that are repeatable. And so we want to do a million things once, something that's repeatable. We don't want to do a million unique things. It's leveraging that capability and really focusing on the operations piece. How are we going to use it? When are we going to go to the cloud?
Okay.
What is appropriate to be in a public environment? What do we need to keep in the military? There's some things in the Army that you've got to have that private cloud capability, or sometimes it's not even in the cloud.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that in every agency, Jeff. You're going to have some things that are fine in the cloud. There'll be some unique critical mission things that are going to be protected at a much greater level and just not trusted to be in a shared environment.
Absolutely. And part of that is also the managed service.
Right.
And determining how you break that history of I've owned it, I've operated it. How am I going to transition to let somebody else take responsibility for this? When it's not working, it's my fault.
Right.
How do I fix it? And establishing those right relationships between the service provider and the organization that used to provide that service to have that trust that says, hey, I really believe that when there's a problem, I'm going to know how to fix it. And probably more importantly, I'm going to be able to explain to my boss what I'm doing to fix the problem that I now can't go and to the closet and fix because I've passed that on to
somebody. That's a great
else.
Point. You know, that risk factor really changes. You know, when you all of a sudden have a managed service and different kinds of SLAs and things like that in place, the risk factor between the government and industry takes on a whole different dimension. Margie, what do you think? How does managed services, cloud, data center, how do you guys keep all it in, make sense of all this stuff?
Well, following on to what Jeff's thought was, it really is a hybrid solution that we're pursuing. And it centers around know your data and know what it's appropriate to do for your different levels of data and your different levels of applications. So, for example, within our private cloud, in our two enterprise data centers at DHS, we have architected 9 what I would consider to be cloud solutions within our private cloud. And those center around infrastructure and then some software as a service and platform as a service also. So talking about the infrastructure side of the equation, what we're trying to do in order to enable agile development, which is also part of the 25-point plan, and to hasten speed to market for our applications, we're putting in place infrastructure as a service that includes dev test as a service, pre-prod and production as a service, so you can turn up or turn down as a developer pieces of your infrastructure that you need in order to move forward on application development, and you can do that within 24 hours. It's a provisioning model, and to be able to meter your service and thereby lessen your cost over time, not investing huge amounts of infrastructure going forward. Second piece of that is the software as a service I spoke earlier about. Email as a service, SharePoint as a service, starting with the back office, but eventually moving into more of the mission side of the equation. We're not there yet, but we will be at some point in time. And that's where that portfolio management and the optimization of applications and the re-architecting becomes so important. And the last piece is platform as a service. And in those areas, we're looking at what I can see as several stacks, open source, Linux, Microsoft, all of the typical stacks that you would see in the developer portfolio. We're looking at putting those in place so our teams can go to that and use that ubiquitously. I believe that we've already achieved some huge services. Our email as a service is market priced at $7 to $9 a mailbox. We tagged it up to what was available in commercial capability, as opposed to let's start here and let's build up the labor costs, let's add the overhead, and let's get ourselves a big overblown government cost. I think what we're talking about here is going to the market and seeing what the market will bear, and challenging our partners and our vendors to come to the table with us and resolve and find solutions that will give the government the same kinds of services, sometimes within our walls and sometimes outside of our walls, depending on what data you have.
Yep, I think the evolution is moving along. It's I think this train's not going to stop anytime soon. I think the direction's pretty clear in terms of the way a government's going with, I've said it before. Show me a government agency whose mission statement says we manage information technology infrastructure. It's not there. So, but let's go to Bob Norris over at NGA. Bob, what from your perspective, how does cloud managed services figure into your strategy?
I'd like to start with managed services first. NGA several years ago decided to look internally first to see how it was organized and decided to adopt the managed services model. And so our acquisition directorate, which was doing the acquisition of IT and then operating some services after that, pulled back and just did the acquisition and became an application service provider. Our enterprise operations director then became the infrastructure service provider. And so this facilitates us moving into cloud computing and shared services across the IC since we adopted this model. Mm-hmm. As far as cloud computing is concerned, we've been working with other agencies in the intelligence community, as well as internally our InnoVision directorate, which looks several years out in the future, has been working with cloud computing to identify how the major applications that we have to deal with processing large imagery files and things like that, how they would work best in a cloud. And so that's the direction our agency's been taking in this.
Yeah, we got all kinds of neat things kicking around. You know, we have the big data stuff and DevOps stuff. And there's always something new. Cloud was a few years, no one talked about cloud. It was just, you know, the internet was, we drew a picture of a cloud and called it, you know, the internet. Now cloud computing's a big thing. It's fun watching these trends occur and pop out. Bill Sullivan over at Informatica, how about managed services and cloud computing? How does that figure into your thinking and your strategy and how you're working with these government agencies?
Well, we started out 15 years ago as an ETL vendor, extract, translate, load. So to us, the cloud is another target from which mm-hmm. our customers need to move their data so they can use it in a more effective fashion. The challenge with government, as is always the case, is the security of that data, and not just really access and identification, but also data governance and the mm-hmm. masking of certain data. If you're going to go to cloud for transactional data for healthcare, for instance, you may want to just simply share a unique identifier, but you can't share somebody's social security number, you can't share diagnoses, that sorts of things. So as you move data to the cloud, you have to always keep in mind the whole issue of data security, because so oftentimes in government, that's not simply a nice to have. It's a legislative statute that you have to, you know, you violate the law if you don't keep an eye on it.
Right.
So that's one thing.
Not to mention if you have some type of a breach, it will be bring your whole system down for a period of time.
That's exactly it. And so the other thing is really, once you have a lot of data that you're trying to move to the cloud, you know, junk begets junk. So you have the challenge of cleaning that data, of updating contacts, removing duplicates, all the types of things that you need to do. When, again, I pointed to the IRS example because there's just volumes of data they're moving up. So doing that translation up to the cloud is important. Once you get there, obviously, there's a tremendous advantage to government in terms of its operation because it allows itself then to structure the business to better meet the needs of the mission of the agency, whether it's DOD or intelligence or civilian.
Yeah, very good points. Great points there. Kevin Chin over at Red Hat, how about cloud managed services in your mix of thinking in terms of how you're addressing it with the federal government and data center consolidation programs?
Sure. So I agree with a lot that's already been said. Everything from the cloud is an important area where we're all kind of heading in that direction as a general term. We are seeing a lot of adoption around infrastructure as a service and a lot of talk around platform as a service and software as a service as well. So there are a lot of great initiatives out there. I think, though, if you kind of step back and take a look at the broader picture, to me, when I hear cloud, I immediately think of operational efficiency.
Right.
And, kind of redesigning or re-architecting, as the term was thrown out, how we're doing things and kind of taking a look at it from that perspective. And I think that from the Red Hat perspective, we want to help our customers have the opportunity to maximize their potential, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're trying to make sure that that customers who adopt Red Hat technologies and are using are aiming towards cloud computing data center consolidation are not locking themselves
right.
into dangerous parts or dangerous strategies. So
right. Yeah, and I think we got to move quick, people, because I think we got to get there before the next generation enters the workforce, because when they enter the workforce, they're going to be so used to having apps available to them to do anything they want to do whenever they want to do them that we got to get there, or we're going to have a dissatisfied workforce in the future. Dimitri, what do you think in terms of managed service and cloud? How's that figure into your strategies?
Yeah, so, it's interesting. One of the things that I always think of when I hear cloud computing, and it doesn't get talked about directly, although some of the folks here, including Kevin, just mentioned it, is really it's all about self-service. It's all about end users knowing what they want. They know what it is they can get out there outside of their agencies, privately, and then bring that back to the organization saying, I want to be able to do something like this on my own. So when Margie talked about developers being able to dial in how much they need and have a 24-hour turnaround cycle. That means IT can now take a background role and focus more on the complicated systems and let the end users drive a lot more of the decision-making and day-to-day operations, which we think is a good thing, and it's something that Quest looks to enable. Obviously, at the same time, you do have the security concerns. You can't just allow everyone to run the environment. You need proper oversight and governance. Right. But I think that's been the most compelling thing with this whole shift to cloud is enabling the actual end users, the business line groups, to manage their own resources and take the burden off of IT.
Very good point. Boy, what a novel idea. Let's ask the actual customer what they want and let them make decisions. A very novel way to approach things. You know, we talked a little bit about the budget and the money, and money is always going to be, especially in a presidential election year and everything else, we're going to have all kinds of issues with money and budgets and what's going on. But other than that, what are some of the other major issues that need to be overcome to get to where you want to be with data center consolidations? What are some of the other big challenges out there? Dr. Norris, Bob, what's some of the big things other than the budget that are difficult things that have to be overcome here?
Well, there's two things that I can think of offhand. One is security. Everybody's concerned about security in the cloud.
Sure, that's come up a few times.
And I think that there's been a lot of progress made in that direction. Certainly, that's where people are putting funding to try to make sure that things are secure. But the other thing I think is going to be a problem as far as the intelligence community is concerned is the cultural issue. Because people have heard so much about the security issue in the cloud. What about my data being there? Is it going to be kept secure? Will it be private? A lot of people are thinking about that now.
Yeah, great point. That makes us 79 for 79. 79 radio shows we have done now, and all 79, the culture issue enters the equation somewhere. It's not the technology, it's the culture. And I think that's true in pretty much all agencies. Margie, what do you think are some of the challenges? What are some of the really hard things that you need to deal with day to day other than the money issue?
Well, I agree with Bob in the sense that it's all about the data architecture. And I said previously that know your data and know what level of security it requires. That's the only way that we're going to get to the end state. And that's a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of agencies have done the appropriate data architecture to make sure that they can tag their data, to make sure that we can secure the data layer. And we're going to need to do that in order to enable not only cloud computing and other technologies that have come to the fore recently, but we're also going to need it for mobility. Yeah. Because you spoke about mobile apps. If we're going to solve the security equation for mobile devices, then we've got to start at the data layer. The only other thing I wanted to bring into the equation is the business model. We've talked a lot about the technology today. Obviously, we all work in the technology world. But the big muscle movements that the federal government is trying to make now in establishing FedRAMP, right. As to how you would actually provision and use the cloud, how the industry would come forward and prove that they could meet those security requirements and meet certain standards so that the users can start to feel comfortable about placing certain levels of data in the cloud. And you know, we're not going to do that until those issues have been solved,
right.
Because it's too important to the security of our nation that we protect and the privacy of our citizens that we protect our data accordingly. But I have full faith that that people are going to resolve that issue. Provisioning, how we provision the actual services. We're working with OFPP and OMB right now to try to determine how you would do modular contracting.
Uh-huh.
To match up with modular development.
Right.
How do you do these short, quick cycles? How do you change the measurements and the hooks that you put in the contract so that we can effectively ensure delivery and hold the industry accountable, but also make it move with such alacrity that we can actually get what we need to get done.
Yeah, there's some great points you made there, Margie, especially with the acquisition, because the acquisition workforce and the procurement folks have to move along with these new models and really adapt to these new models because it's going to change the way, like that, the whole risk equation changes and everything else. I want to hear from Jeff and our industry guest on the same issue, but we first need to take a short break. You're listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
There are a lot of virtualization solutions out there from proprietary companies, but they are expensive and lock you into long-term relationships with vendors that you might not want. But Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization is a highly secure open-source platform for mission-critical workloads. Red Hat technology is based on open standards, so your IT future still belongs to you. And if you're ready to start cloud computing, this is the way to do it. 90% of public clouds already run on open source. This is Paul Smith from Red Hat, and if you want to learn more from the open source leader, check us out at redhat.com/virtualize.
Government IT leaders have one thing in common. All are challenged to do more with less while meeting the aggressive federal data center consolidation initiative mandates. Agencies can realize their data center consolidation goals by looking beyond the traditional bricks and mortar of consolidation to reduce infrastructure and utility costs. Informatica customers know that the true long-term savings come through a comprehensive application retirement, data archiving, and virtualization strategy. Visit Informatica.com today to see how they can help your organization.
Quest Software IT Management Solutions help you lower costs, manage risk, extend platform capability and lifecycle, and reduce the complexity of IT management. They make your mission possible, physical, virtual, and in the cloud. Quest Software is simplicity at work, and it's available through DLT Solutions. Simplify. Thrive. Quest Software. Learn more at DLT.com/mission possible. That's DLT.com/mission possible.
Welcome back to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jim Fleisig, here with Jeff Gripshaw from the Army, Margie Graves from DHS, Bob Norris from NGA, Bill Sullivan from Informatica, Dmitry Kagetsky from Quest Software, and Kevin Chin from Red Hat. We're talking data center consolidation and virtualization. We were talking about the challenges and some of the tough things other than the obvious budget climate that we're in. Jeff Gripshaw over Army, what are some of the challenges that you see in getting to where you want to go with data center consolidation, other than the obvious issue of you need money?
Absolutely. And so I'll echo many of the other panelists who have said culture is a significant issue.
Yeah.
One of the things in the Army we've tried to do from the very beginning is get senior leader engagement, and this is an Army priority. And that helps when you don't
having
have
that leadership. Good point.
When you don't have that leadership saying this is the direction, we know this is the right thing to do. It's going to improve the way we operate within the Army. It's very easy for that lower level, mid level resistance to stop progress.
Sure.
And so we think that's an important piece of this to move it forward. The other thing I would add is scale. When you do something that's as big as data center consolidation, you could. Everything touches a data center.
Right.
Oh, cloud data center. Oh, managed data center.
Right.
It's all part of it. So it's that scope creep potential. And when you open it up so big, there's lots of places where you can find reasons to not do it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, this special reason. Well, we can't do any. You have to pick and choose that.
Good point.
And so figuring all that out as we move forward to do the right thing for the Army is important.
Right. Some great points there. I used to tell people there are no constraints, just challenges. Kevin Chin over Red Hat, what do you think are some of the big challenges that are being the government's facing that you're trying to help them overcome to get there?
Sure. So other than the things that have already been mentioned.
Yeah, one of the disadvantages of being towards the back end of a question, you can say ditto. You know?
Yeah, exactly. But so ditto plus the fact that I think that there's an opportunity here around openness or a concern around openness.
Right.
So when customers are looking to do virtualization and data center consolidation, one of the things that I think that they're going to run into, especially as this evolves into cloud computing, is that some of them will find themselves in situations where they may not be as agile as they were thinking they would be. And so I think that a good example of that is the whole advent of the mobile computing platforms, right? The tablets and handhelds and stuff. These seemingly came out of the blue. I mean, 5 years ago, how many of us had, true smartphones like we do today? And there weren't that many. So that's just an example of how fast the technology can change. And I think customers are realizing that, maybe I thought I was agile, but I'm not quite where I need to be yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. The technology changes so fast as these strategies take a long time to implement. And as you're implementing them, it's sort of like a changing set of requirements along the way. Bill Sullivan at Informatica, what do you think are some of the big challenges yet to get to where we need to go?
I think the greatest challenge we have is keeping the non-technical business executive, government executive, focused on the potential that's inherent in in data center consolidation and in the whole concept of big data. You know, we talk about virtualization, consolidation, right. integration, and their eyes glaze over and they say, I have a CIO and she can't handle that for you. Mm-hmm. And really what we're talking about, using the data that's resident in some of these programs and some of these agencies, they have the answer to how they can better structure their agencies from a programmatic perspective right now. But when we devolve down into a conversation that's deeply technical, they check out. So the use of case studies, stories as we've heard on the panel today, are particularly important because it illustrates the value of the technology and the data that's currently in the agencies. And it further melds the mission of technology with the program much more closely so that it is more readily understood and valued by the non-technical executives. But making sure that we present it in such a way that it maintains relevance, not just to those non-technical executives, but to Congress and to the appropriators is absolutely critical. Yeah. So case studies are important.
Yeah, I agree with you. If we have some business cases or use cases to point to where there's success stories, it'll go a long way to help things move forward. Dimitri, what do you think from the Quest perspective or some of the big challenges out there that need to be overcome yet?
So the things that we're seeing, not to echo what's been said before, and something that's probably a little bit different is interoperability, is the fact that it's not going to be a single platform, a single database, single operating system. It's all going to be essentially heterogeneous. Mm-hmm. And that's the world that we're going to have to live in. And interoperability is going to be key. So making sure that the executives, as Bill was saying, understand that there's going to have to be coexistence. There's going to have to be some sort of melding and having platforms work together, whether it's cloud, whether it's through managed service, internal, however it's done, having all those things work together is going to be key. And that's one of the things that we focus on with Quest as well.
Yeah, great. Another great point. You know, as we move forward with this, thinking solving some of those interoperability issues and those issues with the proprietary systems. We've got about 11 minutes or so left. And like we do in every show, we like to challenge the panelists to think about where this is all going and what the future might look like and where this will lead us. So I'm going to ask each of you to share kind of a vision for the future. What improvements do you think we'll see that we can attribute back to these strategies that we have ongoing today? Let's start with Kevin Chin at Red Hat. Kevin, what's your crystal ball look like down the road? Where's this going?
I definitely feel like we would all see a much more flexible, much more agile infrastructure being put in place at customers and throughout the government. I definitely feel like that will lead to just generally a better capability to deliver on various missions that are out there. And I think as a word of caution, I think that we need to make sure that industry and our customer base are making sure that that they're positioning themselves correctly, that they'll maximize their agility, that they will, not accidentally, so to speak, box themselves into a position that they don't want to be in. I think that they should also look forward to a world where you really have a mixed environment. Right now we have a lot of talk about consolidating technologies just because of the topic today, but I do still believe that there will be a fair amount of heterogeneity out there.
Good point. Bill Sullivan, Informatica, where do you see this going? What's your, I'm sure you're thinking strategically out a few years. Where do you see all this going?
So I have a 9-year-old daughter, Alexandra. I think in 5 to 10 years, she's not going to use a computer keyboard. I thought about that as I saw somebody updating their Facebook page via dictation without even touching a keyboard. And so we're going to see a continued integration of people with the technology to make it more user-friendly. I think as we, all the technologies we've talked about, cloud, big data, that's simply going to draw together the potential power of the infrastructure and place that in the hands of the individual user so that they have better, more informed decisions and talk about mobile computing right where they are, wherever they are, whenever they need it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, the future of speech and visualization is what it's going to be all about. All these crime shows we see on TV where they're doing everything with visualization and GPS and GIS systems. I think that will be the reality. I think you're not going to see those keyboards around very much more. Dr. Norris, Bob, what do you see? What's your crystal ball look like for where this all goes down the road?
Well, one of the things that is going to come out of the intelligence community building clouds together is the fact that the data can't go into the clouds unless it's correctly tagged. And that was one of the things that Margie mentioned, the need to tag information. And NGA, as part of its new vision, has actually had a geospatial data architecture management initiative going on under the CIO. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure that not only is the data correctly tagged, but we're coming up with new ways of tagging the information, and we're focusing on business analytics because we want to know who's using NGA's information, how is it being used, what reports is it being produced in, so that we can actually look at what it is that we're storing, what should be archived off, and how we can actually, you know, reduce the footprint of our data centers whenever it needs to be done.
Yeah, great points. As you're aware, because you were on our show on big data, as we go to big data approaches, then the analytics become even more intense. It's the finding the needle in the needle, in a stack of needles, as opposed to finding the needle in the haystack. Dimitri, what do you think? What's the future look like to you?
So from what we're seeing, you know, agencies are moving ahead, data center consolidation's happening, and I think we're going to be successful, but the one big outcome that we're going to have out of all of this is we're probably going to have much better governance, much better accountability, because we're now putting in processes in place around all of these things, around all these systems, cloud, all of that, in order to better control what's out there. So I think in the 5 to 10 year cycle, we're going to stop saying cloud. It'll just be more computing, however it is, but we'll have better controls over all these things.
That's interesting, the governance question, because I guess, you know, we've become so complex over the years and things just growing and blossoming, things happening, and we went to, we moved things out, regionalize it, and we pulled it back and consolidated it. Everything works like a pendulum. If you go back over like the last 30 years of computing, we've been going through the cycle of let's move everything out to the end user computing, and now let's pull it all back and consolidate, let's move it out, let's bring it back. So it does raise the question, though, as you move into these new areas about standardizing on governance models. And I think that's an interesting issue in a lot of agencies, because right now everyone talks about the importance of governance, but when you look at it, there's about 50 governance models, one for like every program, you know. Jeff, what do you think? What's it look like in your, when you look into the crystal ball there out to the future, where this is all going for you? What do you see this bringing back in terms of, you know, benefits to the Army and by going in this direction?
So I think a major thing we're going to get to is we're going to get security actually baked into our operating environments. Instead of trying to do it all individually, it's going to be part of that standard software stack that will really enable users to focus on the capability and not to worry about all of the infrastructure underneath it. That computing that we've mentioned a couple times, you don't have to solve the whole thing from start to finish.
Right.
You just leverage the capability that exists to perform your function better, to get the information you need and the services you need to the right person at the right time. It's going to help our warfighters. It's going to help the people that support the warfighters. It's really going to get us to where you can focus on what's important and not some of the details that we end up focusing on.
Yeah,
today.
I like that. So you when you come to work, you don't need to worry about you worry about the mission. And
absolutely.
You worry about the job, and the infrastructure and the computing and the technology is there to support you, and it becomes a non-issue, essentially. I hope we get to that day. I think that offers some tremendous advantages. Margie, what's it look like to you? Where's this all going when you think about you've been at this now for quite some time? You've been playing a leadership role in data center consolidation at DHS, a large agency, a new agency, which probably the culture issues is even more pronounced there, as people are still trying to figure out, you know, the identity of various entities. What's it look like for you? Where's this all going for you down the road in the future?
Well, we just recently started an initiative with our deputies council within the CIOs to look 2 to 4 years out and determine the art of the possible. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not keeping your eye on the future, if you don't know what the art of the possible is, you're gonna not line yourself up accordingly. Align yourself accordingly. Again, coming last, I'm going to try to kind of echo some of the things that have been said by the prior members of the panel. It's really about information delivery. It won't be about infrastructure. It won't be about a brick and mortar. It won't be about any of that. Information delivery, however it gets done, it's probably going to be in a mobile fashion. I believe it was said earlier that you got to meet the user where they work. You got to meet them in the field. You've got to meet them on the front line. You've got to meet them as the war fighter. You've got to meet them in the way they do business. You've got to work with them the way that they use technology in their private lives. I mean, you're seeing individual people pulling agencies into that world, some of them kicking and screaming, because that's the way people work and do business and manage their private lives today with technology.
Right.
So that particularly is what I see happening. I believe that we have to solve the security issue, but once we get there, we're going to see a lot more teaming between hardware, software, and service provider vendors so that there are unified solutions brought to the federal government for our use and procurement. And we're going to be out of the integration business to some point, and hopefully I think that's going to get us a next level up that we're not experiencing today. And you're already starting to see it in the market. You're already starting to see those partnerships form, some of them formally, where companies are buying other companies, like Verizon buying Caremark.
Right.
other ways you're seeing it are software vendors, hardware vendors, and cloud providers teaming.
Good. Yeah, I agree with you, too. The market's really changed. I mean, as you sit back and look at it, I remember, Amazon at one point in time sold books. Now they're in cloud business and IT business. And, Google had a search engine. Now Google does all kinds of stuff. And, Microsoft had an operating system. You go on and on and on, and you're seeing, market dynamics that are really creating major changes. And I think it's going to force a lot of the traditional companies that have been doing business with government are going to have to refocus, rethink of the way they do business too, because it's really going to change and it's going to create some interesting challenges for markets to step up. Take a minute or so here to try to wrap up and try to summarize a little bit. We talked about some of the benefits around data center consolidation, about consolidating, we have one DHS, creating that identity of one, and the long-term savings and carbon footprints, culture issues, coming together. We've heard security over and over and over again. I think, and it's one thing that it becomes a priority. It's one thing I think that the administration and the Congress agree on. Is the need for cybersecurity programs in the case of data center consolidation and cloud and so forth. It gives you a chance to step back and take a look at it holistically and perhaps come up with some new approaches and do away with some of those old Band-Aid approaches. We talked about the budget climate requiring some zero-based reviews, looking at what we are actually spending on operations more so than the capital investments. And are there ways to optimize what we're doing at the operational level? That came out. I heard from all of you that we expect a hybrid environment. It's not going to be a private cloud, a public cloud, a managed service, owned service. There's going to be a mix of all. We're going to be in a hybrid world in the future. There are challenges out there. The culture issue, once again, enters the equation there. But it's one that just needs to be worked with because, you have culture, then you have security. So security can be a challenge, but it could also be an opportunity, as we talked about. And another point made was the need for leadership. For this stuff to move forward, you're going to need the leadership in the organization constantly behind it and pushing it, because it's going to take some tough issues. And I think as we look to the future, agencies will move more towards mission focus and not be thinking about managing IT. The infrastructure and the IT will be there, and the agencies will be focused more on the mission. I want to do some thanks here first to all of our panelists for taking time from your very, very busy schedules to spend some time with us this morning and share your thoughts on this subject. I want to thank our sponsors, without which we wouldn't have a show, for sponsoring the program, and our good friends at Federal News Radio, who always do a great job with this. And most importantly, to our listening audience out there that listen to the show. You've been listening to the Federal Executive Forum on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thank you for listening to the 2012 Federal Executive Forum Series on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show was produced by the Trezza Media Group and the Flysig Group. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.